Welcome. Welcome this morning to Jericho Road. And we're gathered to see what God would want to say to us this morning. And so let's turn in our word now. We're going through the book of Psalms. We're in Psalm 127. We invite you to turn there. Turn to the 127th Psalm. It's not a newsflash to say that we are all under construction. No one here has arrived. No one here is perfect. If you're perfect, please come and introduce yourself to me afterwards. I want to meet you. I haven't met a perfect person yet. But the reality is none of us are perfect. We're under construction, and the Lord knows that. That's indeed by His design. And this morning He's going to speak to that whole process. And what an encouragement and challenge it is for us as we come to this important text. Well, as you know, if you've been part of our travels together, we are journeying with the children of Israel as they are on their pilgrimage up to Jerusalem. Psalms 120 to Psalm 134 collectively are known as the Song of Ascent. You'll see that they're each titled that right under the number for the psalm. And that's because these were songs that were sung as they would make their pilgrimage to Jerusalem for the feast, the three major feasts of the year. Thus, what this teaches us is the songs were not songs to be sung once they've arrived, but songs for the journey. And so we've called our times together a journey of worship, because that's what it was meant to be for them, and as it was for them, so it is for us. Our life pilgrimage to be one of worship, a journey of worship. Not because we don't go through rough stuff, not because we don't face some tough circumstances, but because of what these psalms point to about who we have in that, and to see us through, and to work in all these things, and to hold us and strengthen us, and so much, of course, for our life's journey. That for us, too, it's a journey of worship. Thursday, of course, we did celebrate Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, it's a great reminder for that which, as Tim said, is true really every day. We have so much to be thankful for. The giving of thanks is good for a lot of reasons. But one of those is because in giving thanks to the Lord, it reminds us of the things that we have found in the Lord. It reminds us of who He is, who we belong to, what He blesses us with and all. In short, the giving thanks is good because it points us upward. These pilgrim songs help us do the same exact thing. They remind us of who we belong to, who we travel in, all that's ours because of Him. Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He gives His beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. I've called our time together this morning based on that first sentence of the first verse. I've called our time, unless the Lord builds the house. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that indeed on this life's journey, this life's pilgrimage, we don't walk it alone. We don't have to be aimless about the whole thing. Indeed, we can walk with You who are the designer of this whole thing. And so thank You for that. Lord, minister to hearts this morning. You know the hurt represented here, the struggles, the circumstances. But we do thank You because in You we find our strength, our purpose, our meaning. You are a refuge for us in the midst of our storms. Just thank You for it all. Now, Lord, take Your word and speak it not just to our minds, but to our hearts. Help us lay hold of what You'd have from this, Lord. But thank You. As always, just thank You for that You were this whole pilgrimage, this whole journey, Lord. You offer us You. Thank You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's dig in and see what the Lord would have for us. Verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. There's no doubt, of course, that this is a well-known passage. We hear it recited at various things, weddings and baby dedications and various things, this psalm, because there's so much here. But the danger being that because it's well-known, there's also the danger of familiarity. We kind of tune out right about now. Oh, I know this verse, heard it taught 100 times. What new can the pastor add? And we can kind of tune out. I want to encourage you, don't do that. Let's consider how this passage applies to every person here. Well, let's look at it. Unless the Lord build the house. The word house there, of course, can first of all refer to a household, a home. Definitely an application there. But it goes beyond that. It's not speaking about just the building, of course, where a household or a home is where they reside. But, of course, it's speaking about the household that lives in it. But, again, it goes beyond that. You see, it's as I said at the beginning, we are all under construction. So whether it's the building of a family, a household, or whether it's the building of our whole lives, this text speaks to us about how that's to occur. Well, how will we have a meaningful life versus one that is empty? What's the point of this psalm? That nothing in life can be what it is intended to be apart from the Lord's involvement in it. Nothing in life can be what God designed it to be if we don't seek and let Him be at the very center of it. What does this journey through life consist of for us? Well, if we just get right down to the everyday practical things, it's pretty similar for all of us. You see, there are those rare days of a special event, or maybe some special thing that you do, some holiday, or maybe, you know, off to Disneyland for the day, or going to the beach or something. Those are special days. But really, the majority of our life are consisting of, this life's pilgrimage consists of pretty much some day-to-day things that are all similar for many of us. What do I mean? Most of us, our lives pretty much revolve around, they're about what? They're about our household, whatever form that takes, marriage, single, whatever it might be, your household. It consists of trying to have a certain amount of security in life. And that, of course, comes through our occupation. It comes through, if you have a family, it's through children. So much is taken up with children. And about a third of our day, if you have a good night's sleep, is taken up with just that, sleep. So this life's pilgrimage revolves a lot around, doesn't it? Our household, our occupations, our sleep. That's exactly where this psalm starts at. And what it means is our life. It's trying to capture our life. That's the idea here. Good news. There are some blueprints for this life's journey, for this building of a home, this building of a life. There are blueprints. But even better news, the designer wants to help us build it. The designer will help us build it if we will but seek and trust and obey him. But if he's not at the center of building our lives, if he's not the one setting our priorities and guiding us in our decisions and all, then it will be sinking sand. So whether the house be a nation, meaning what it's referring to here, whether the building of a house, whether it's referring to a nation, a home, our very life, if we look around, do we not see ample evidence of the truth of this verse? Take a look at our nation for just a moment. And this is not meant to be a political statement. I'm saying it as a spiritual statement. As a nation, you know, you see where it's going. This nation is more and more rejecting God, leaving God out, ruling Him out. Don't let Him in here. Don't let it be a part of this. But as this nation, as a collective, as we go about not seeking the Lord or following His leading, surely we are sowing the seeds of our own downfall. But what's true for a nation is true for our homes. We see the result of homes not based on the Lord, where His love and guidance and all are not active in that home. We see the problems there. We see the same for lives, very lives, people's lives, the same thing. As they actively reject Him and don't seek Him and all, we see the fruit of it all around us. So we know the truth of this, that if God's not in it, it will come to nothing. How we long for, how we need real purpose. But only one is worthy of being that purpose, and that's what this is pointing to. Verse 2. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so He gives His beloved sleep. Notice that there's a word repeated here three times in two verses. Did you notice the word? It's the word vain. So obviously it's a key word in this. It's a word that's repeated three times here. God must want to be driving home a point. Vanity. Vain, he says. If he's not involved in it, if we're not seeking him and doing it his way, then our lives will in the end be vain. It's a word that means empty. Now, there's a book in the Bible. We won't have to turn there, but just to remind you, there's a book in the Bible that is really noted for being about vain and vanity. Anybody remember what that book is? Ecclesiastes. And the author of Ecclesiastes was who? Solomon. Did you notice on the heading of Psalm 127 who this is written by? A Song of Ascents of Solomon. Solomon concluded, let me just read it. I'm just reading real quick here. In Ecclesiastes 1:1, Solomon wrote this. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, that's Solomon. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I think he wants to make a point. Vanity is a word that means absurdity, frustration, futility, nonsense. It means emptiness. At the end of Ecclesiastes, he even says this. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Solomon says, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Solomon says, it's all come down to it. Just be in awe of God and follow him. And so we can see he brings that same thought to bear in this psalm. He's making sure the pilgrim understands that truth. All is vain. All will be empty in the end unless the Lord is in it and directing it. That's just the way it is. This life was designed to be lived in connection with and led by the one who designed it, the creator of it. And it's really what we all long for. We want to have meaningful lives, purposeful lives, and it's only found one place. He says here, it is vain for you to rise up early. Now some of you are saying, that's where it is. That's my verse. Some of you right now are saying, see, honey? See? It is vain to rise up early, he declares. To sit up late, eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. What's it talking about? This speaks of a sleeplessness due to anxiety and worry. The bread of sorrow here means the toil of wearisome effort is the idea. This is speaking about someone who thinks that work is the answer, that they're going to have security in life by amassing things, that they can somehow get everything, all their ducks in a row, and get a good bank account going and everything else, and I'll have security, and they'll try to find peace in that. And it's, in essence, they're speaking to those who would look to themselves and their efforts rather than trust in the Lord for it all. You know, Jesus himself gave a good commentary on how we're to view worry and work. And I want to turn there. Leave your Bible ribbon or bulletin there and go all the way to the New Testament. Go to Matthew chapter 6. It's a familiar portion again for so many, but let's hear it afresh this morning. This is our Lord speaking about how to view worry and work. And let the Lord speak to you maybe if some things have gotten out of whack in this way. If you've been trying to somehow think that through your work that you're going to be safe that way and secure and all, that that's what it's about, that that's what we're supposed to be. The world, of course, encourages that, but is that what God would say? Listen to the Lord as he teaches us. We're in Matthew 6. Now let's start at verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon, there he is, in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles, the unbelievers, seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And that verse itself gets an amen by many people. Yep, there's enough today going on. Why are we going in tomorrow? Why are we worried about tomorrow? But the point in all this, verse 33, but seek, you seek. Don't be like the world. Don't buy into how they think security and all happens. But you be about this. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, his ways. And all these other things shall be added to you. They'll be taken care of. See, verse 33, that is the house. That is the life that the builder is God. The builder of that life is God, one in which we're seeking first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, his ways, his leading. That's a house being built by God. And he says, and all these other things, they'll be added to you. By who? By him. Because he'll be doing the building, he'll be doing the guiding. He knows what I need, what I don't need. Not the world says, but what he knows I really need. And he'll take care of us. And so the admonition here, so we see that this is a good commentary on this issue back there and back in Psalm 27, which I invite you to turn back to. Beware, workaholics. And I always say that word, and right away you go, well, that's not me. I just happen to live, breathe, talk about, focus on my work a lot. But I'm not a workaholic. I just happen to believe that through my work I will make us safe. Through my work I'll make us secure. Unless the Lord guards the city, unless the Lord guards the home, unless the Lord guards the life, then all that other stuff's in vain. And all this workaholism and thinking that it's all about achievement and acquiring and amassing things, and somehow that's going to be purpose and meaning and pleasure and joy, it will fail every time. It can't be found there. Workaholic, all that effort that you're putting in will not get you the security you think it will. It will not get you the purpose for life that you think it will. Now, let's be clear for a moment. These verses do not advocate that we're to do nothing. This isn't an argument for just being lazy. It doesn't say it's wrong to build or to guard. It's just showing us the futility of doing it without God at the center of it. Without seeking his will and purposes and all in it. Without seeking his empowering for it. So yes, it's a partnership of sorts. But at the center, in the steering wheel, is to be the Lord. Or it will just get us nowhere good. See, it's in his love he's saying this. All that effort will get us nowhere good if God's not doing it. And I want to address a phrase. It's back in that very first one. I titled our time together, Unless the Lord Builds the House. Having read verses 1 and 2, let me address this. Unless the Lord builds the house. You might say that really this is the Old Testament equivalent to what Jesus taught us in John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. It's a critical verse for our lives. He's the vine. He's the source. He's the one we draw our life and strength and all from. We're the branches. And if we'll abide in him, and he in us, we'll bear much fruit. Our lives won't be vain, he's saying. They will be purposeful. But without him, you can do nothing. A crucial verse in all that we would attempt to build or do for our lives. The Lord is teaching us here that the key to being fruitful, to have a life that isn't vain but is purposeful, is a life that abides in him, draws life from him and is about him. Not in our frantic efforts, not all this self-work and works and all, not by getting up early, stay up late, worry, strive, stress. No. It's abiding in him. Without me, you can do nothing. But you know, it's possible that someone out there who doesn't know the Lord, it's possible that someone who hears that might respond something like this. Hey, you say that without Jesus, we can do nothing. Hey, a lot of things are built without God being sought. A lot of things happen and go on out there where God's not included. You say you can do nothing. There's a lot of things done where Jesus isn't the source or in the center of it or whatever. Those things still stand. They're still going on. That guy's business, he has no place for God in his life or business. Look, his business is still going on. Or we can see that all around. So someone might say, look, what are you talking about? Those things are still standing. For now, they stand. But know this. What's going to happen when the storm really hits? And a storm will always come. The storms of life, the storms of what God says is up ahead. You see, without Him, you're on sinking sand. Matter of fact, let's read that real quick here. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I'll liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall. Why? For it's founded on the rock. Again, well known, but make sure we don't forget the important message. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. We're talking about the building of a house. The building of a life is the point. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, beat on that life. Trials came, stresses came, the economy failed, your stock portfolio just tanked, whatever it is. And it fell, and great was its fall. Only one is worthy of building a life on. Everything else is going to fail us. There'll be no eternal fruit from it. There will be no well done. And when the storms come, down it goes. Hopefully we see the partnership here. God's part and our part. His empowering, His leading. Again, He gives us that map for the journey. He gives us the blueprints, but then He also gives us the how-to and the strength to, and he does the building. He's doing the building. Psalm 127 describes the empty life versus the life well lived. Only a life in which the Lord is doing the building, guarding the city, that's the one, that's the life well lived. Well, let's look at these remaining verses quickly. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. In the Hebrew home, the Jewish home, children, of course, were viewed as that. Especially back in olden days when your children had a lot to do with how you did, you know, in terms of provision and care. You got older, they took care of you. There was no Social Security, anything in those days. So it's making reference to a certain amount of that. But I want us to kind of step back and just kind of get a few general points from this. Notice this. When the Lord gives a person a child, God considers that He's given us a good thing. They are not the nuisance that many people think they are. They are not a nuisance in God's eyes. Children are a heritage, a reward, it says, from the Lord. As the world becomes more and more self-focused, children are being viewed more and more negatively. Oh, they take up so much energy, so much time. What a pain the kids are. Got to spend all this money on. You hear more and more of that. And we won't even get into the abortion epidemic. But just how kids are viewed. God sees children as a reward, meaning He values them. And we dare not treat as an inconvenience what God values so highly. Keep in mind here, this passage is not meant to cause hurt to those who might be childless. It's not saying, well, God loves those who have children much more than you, so He gives them this reward. No, He's just pointing out that children are a blessing from Him, and He sees them as valuable. He sees them as important. Children matter. You know, I just want to pause for a moment and just say, you've heard me say from the pulpit, But there's a couple of things I think that this nation and we as a people will have to answer for. And one of those is how we've treated the children. The neglect that children have experienced, the messages we give them through our schools now, just so much. It's sad. And it's not how God would have us see them. I'm not saying you individually, but collectively as a society. It's sad, the abuse and all the kids are suffering. We hear more and more about every day. But again, the passage isn't trying to speak to the... It's not trying to hurt or cause pain to those of you who are childless any more than the previous verses about work are aimed at those who might be disabled or out of work. That's not what he's trying to do here. What's he saying? He's just saying whatever our circumstances are, let God be the builder. Let God be at the very center of your parenting, your work, just your life is the idea here. Recognize that your circumstances are ordained and given by Him. And so whether it's your children, the children, the children's ministry, just whatever, we're to value them. But in all these things, he's saying, just make sure God's at the center of it. Whatever you might be called to do, whatever your circumstances are. Well, having said all that, let's talk a little bit about application now. What does this pilgrim song point to? It tells us how to travel this journey of life so that it won't be an empty trip. So that it won't be an empty life. And again, I believe that so much at the heart for all of us, really. We want to have a life of meaning and purpose. We want to go along the way feeling like, hey, there's a reason I'm here and I'm in sync with that reason and I see God doing things. And we want to arrive at the end hearing, well done. We don't want to look back and say, what was that about? That was empty. That was vain. I didn't do anything. We don't have to. For there is the map maker. He doesn't give us a map and say, hope you make it. He goes, now let me travel with you and lead you and show you where to put each step so you can experience what I have. He truly gives us purpose and meaning. Don't buy into what the world would convey our purpose and meaning for life. They result in emptiness. They are vanity. So the call for our journey, there's one who wants to empower and be right in the middle of it and build our lives. How? Through the trust and obeying that God would have for us in every step. That's the place of blessing. I think of what I would have done to my life if God had mercifully got a hold of me. You think I was so smart, didn't know a thing, thought I was wise, but man, I would have, and poor Kathy, she would have been to the ringer. But there's one who does, and I remember, Lord, give me purpose and meaning, and he did in him. And so I encourage you, don't buy into that something out there is the answer, or that it's worth living for, and that the world's pace is the way to go about these things. Be careful of it. Well, I've encouraged you each step of the way to title these various psalms. What are you going to title this one? I've said to take some time and write down in your journal, or at least certainly try to remember, if not in your notes, a title. A title is like a handle. It helps us reach out and grab hold of the message of that psalm. So in the midst of that work situation or that relationship thing that's not going well or whatever it is, this life's journey, I can reach out and grab hold of the truths of the various songs of ascent, these pilgrim songs, these songs of worship, to make it a journey of worship, that I can lay hold of something here, maybe something encouraging in the midst of some discouragement. Well, we know. All it takes is one phone call and everything gets changed, but there's someplace I can go, a refuge. There's one I can look to it. He gives me these things to remind me of Him. So what are you going to call this psalm today? Pastor Chuck calls Psalm 127, laboring and prospering with the Lord. G. Campbell Morgan calls Psalm 127, Jehovah, the homemaker of the pilgrim. Israel, my glory, calls Psalm 127, our provider. One commentator simply called it the builder psalm. Not necessarily the building of a building, but the building of a life. The builder's psalm. I kind of just latched onto that idea. I've called it the Lord, our builder and guard. He's the builder. He's our real security. He's our purpose. He's our meaning. But remember in all this, the big point here is unless we surrender these lives to God, and allow Him to lead our ways, it will be vain. It just will be. It will be empty. We will miss out on what God designed for us. It'll be sinking sand now and no eternal fruit to offer up to Him, to hear well done for. So I wonder if anyone here today needs to make some changes based on this psalm. What are you building? Who's doing the building? When you look at your life, what are we really about? You're here at church this morning. Awesome. Great to gather together with you and hear what God would have to say to us and to worship Him together. But when we leave here, what will really be our driving motivations? Who will really be in the driver's seat of our lives tomorrow? And when we make that decision come Wednesday and that crisis comes on Thursday or whatever it might be, who will really be in the driver's seat? Who's really building my life? Really, who's building your life? That's the call, that's the challenge. Who's going to be in charge of the area of our life, like our household? Whatever form your household takes right now, who's really in charge there in your household? How about where you think your security lies? Where do you really look to? What do you really think is the basis for your security? If I just get that promotion, that job, that raise, all those things, if I just own this, had that. Let's be honest for God. How do you approach your work? It's good and honorable to have work, and that's great to be able to provide for family, and we're called to do that. But what place does it really have? Does it consume you? Is what you're all about? When you're not at work, you're worried and stressed about it. You stay up late, you can't sleep. I have trouble sleeping now that I've gotten older. I heard that would happen. Guess I'm getting there. And I've talked to enough of you guys to hear the same thing last ministry. You guys said, yeah, I don't sleep well. That's not what this one's talking about. This is talking about a sleeplessness due to anxiety and worry and fear. Be honest with God. He knows. Is that where you're at? Is that what might be troubling you at night? There's a better way, is what he's saying. Are you a workaholic? Do you seek to protect yourself by amassing things? The Lord is lovingly warning us. To approach life that way will be in vain. But the opposite is also true, and that's the good news. A life where the Lord is doing the building, as we seek and trust and obey Him, that'll be the life that stands. That'll be the life that bears fruit. That'll be the life that won't be empty, but it will have purpose and meaning, and the life that'll hear well done. I'm going to invite the worship team up now as we respond to Him. As they come up, I want to ask you to do just that, to think about what you've heard and respond to Him. I often offer the altar time up here for people because it's my experience that people, sometimes it's important maybe to have some altar time. A meaningful time where you say, on this day I remember, Lord, I turn from how I used to be. You see, if you're here today and don't know Christ as Savior, first things first, you got to do that. For that, go to the corner. Because we want one of the prayer partners to talk with you and make sure you understand the decision and to pray with you about it. But for the rest of us, I want to offer the altar. If truth be told, do you need to make a change here? Have you been trying to build the building of your life on your own? Oh, the Lord's kind of in the car, believer. He's in the back seat, though. He wants the driver's seat. He wants the steering wheel. Maybe it's time to say, Lord, I've gotten into doing this thing on my own. I've been doing it my way. Let today be, no one's going to bug you down front or ask you, but let it be a time where maybe you come and say, Lord, I'm giving you the steering wheel back. Maybe you've been building the world's way. You've been letting the culture influence you. You think somehow security and peace and joy are found there. Maybe the world's priorities, unfortunately, are going on there. Have you been stressing out over your security? You look around, you're living in fear. Do you lie awake at night over anxiety and worry? I guess I just want to give us all the opportunity to come. Now, you don't have to come up front to transact business with God. You can do it right where you are, but make sure we don't miss out. But the invitation is to come. Give whatever it is in your life that you recognize this morning. Lord, I am not letting you do the building. I have been doing it your way. I've been stressing and worrying, whatever it is. Come and give that thing to the Lord. get his take on it. Say, Lord, I'm going to begin to follow you in that situation, that circumstance, this building of a life. Lord, I'm going to start following the map that you've given me, the blueprints, and let you do the building. So again, that's it. Just begin now to let God do the building. That's the call. Put the building of your life into his hands completely. Father, to that end, we look to you. We pray that you'll minister and touch and encourage, but Lord, convict where it needs to be, to the end that we wouldn't come short of all you'd have. Lord, you know right now what we're really building on and who's doing the building, and in your love, you're calling us to make sure it's you and only you. So Lord, if any turning needs to take place, turn us around, but help us all be those who are just declaring and realizing, praising, Lord, that unless it's you, it'll be vain, but with you, it stands, it's fruitful. We're well done. Thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.